when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
All right, welcome to Blood River Radio. Eddie Miller had to take, he was taking a well-deserved day off today. And I'm Matthew Goodwin. I'm filling in as host tonight. But Eddie Miller, he was taking a well-deserved day off. He called me. I talked to him a little bit ago. He was at the spa. They were putting cucumbers on his eyes. They had cotton swabs in between his toes. They were about to start his pedicure. I'm kidding. I know none of y'all believe that. So, Eddie, let me tell you about Eddie Miller. Eddie Miller, for good or for worse, Eddie Miller is a fighter. And that man, he stands on, he has his beliefs, his convictions, he stands on them, and he fights for every square inch of ground for those beliefs, those convictions. He's not always right, not always wrong, but he fights, and he's a fighter. He's one of the best men I know. And let me tell you what he's doing. He's fighting today for children. He's raising money for St. Jude's Children's Hospital. That's one of his big passions in life. And we praise God for him, and we're glad he's able to do it. So like I said, this is Matthew Goodwin filling in. This is September 14th in the year of our Lord 2019, and you're on Blood River Radio. Thank you for joining us today. Well, folks, you know the drill. We always start with scripture and prayer, or sometimes just prayer, but we're definitely going to start the same way we always do. We'll find this in Kings. It says, "So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, 'How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him.' And the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, 'I only am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire to it. And you call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire. He is God.' And all the people answered, 'It is well spoken.' Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, 'Choose for yourself one bull and prepare it first, for you are many, and call upon the name of your God, but put no fire to it.' And they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, 'O Baal, answer us.' But there was no voice, and no one answered, and they limped around the altar that they had made. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, 'Cry aloud, for he is God. For he is a God. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened.' And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, 'Come near to me.' And all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, 'Israel shall be your name.' And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as wood contained two seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bull into pieces, laid it on the wood, and he said, 'Fill four jars with water and put it on the burnt offering and on the wood.' And he said, 'Do it a second time.' And they did it a second time. And he said, 'Do it a third time.' And they did it a third time. And the water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water. And at the same time of the offering of oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and all the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God." And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal, let none one of them escape." And they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slaughtered them there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we need people to serve you. We need to turn our people's hearts to you, not following cults, not following vain repetitions, not following false pretenses, Father. We need people to fall on their faces and say, "He is God." Lord, turn our people's hearts back to you as they once were, not following cults, not following soothsayers or good feelings, but following your word, your prophets that came before us who were murdered in your name. And ultimately, we follow and ask all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, our country is sinking low. And I bring you no new news. This is actually kind of a slow week for news, but I bring you some powerful news and news that we don't need to forget. This one came out of CBS Baltimore. It came back in November 5th, 2018. It says a 61-year-old man is dead after he was shot by an officer trying to enforce Maryland's new red flag law in Ferndale Monday morning. Arundel County Police confirmed the police-involved shooting happened at the 100 block of Linwood. According to two police officers serving a new extreme risk protective order, red flag laws, a Maryland protective order to remove guns from a household, shot and killed the man listed on that order. The man's name was Gary J. Willis of the same address. So these officers come up to his house, they knock on the door, they say, "We have an order, retrieve your weapons," and this man did not want to let his weapons go. Rightfully so, because they immediately showed him exactly why he didn't want to let them go. This is a tragedy, people. We got another similar situation that just recently happened. A man's firearm seized because his son shared a meme on Facebook. This is out of Zero Hedge, but due to the so-called red flag gun laws, this came out of Connecticut. This Brandon Wagshaw. Says, due to the recent mass shootings, there's a major push for so-called red flag gun laws at both state and federal levels. This, by the way, Trump has said he's going to enforce, and Mitch McConnell has said he wants to enforce it. This is where our country's going, folks. You've had the right to defend yourself, and no longer do you have a right to defend yourself. We'll be right back. I've got a lot more to say about this, and we've got a guest coming up. But thank you, and stay tuned.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that will preserve the vanishing resource of the American cowboy. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery that celebrates our history, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. You can order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no way.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
The Ennis 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Oh, don't tell them that, Clint. Now you've let them know you have a 44 and they'll be coming after you. This is serious stuff. I was talking about two cases where red flag gun laws have been enacted, Maryland and Connecticut. Now I want to read this Zero Hedge article. So this week, government officials came back from their summer recess, and I have heard from a couple different sources that the U.S. Senate in particular is seeking to fast-track legislation on red flag gun laws, as well as possible ban on private party transfers of firearms and a possible ban on high-capacity magazines. It says Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has publicly vowed to pursue any new gun control, and the Trump administration supports, and Donald Trump has openly called for red flag gun laws involving mental health. Listen, folks, on the other side, that's the Republicans. On the other side, we have Democrats actually saying they're going to seize guns. When I read you this case out of Maryland, they knew, our government knew, when they enacted these red flag laws, that there would be resistors. They knew that there would be people who would, you could not pry their cold, dead hands off of their guns. And yet they passed them anyway, and they came. Here's my point, people. You're not hearing any other media say this, any other mainstream. These people are essentially, in a roundabout way, passing a roundup and an enslavement of you, putting you into concentration camps because you are going to be unwilling to turn over your firearms. Now, we have with us a guest today, and I'm proud to welcome him back to the show. He's a firm defender of our people. And he represents a group that is even firmer than that. These people are good. The League of the South, and we have with us back Ike Baker. How are you, Ike?
Matt, I'm doing just fine. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. What do you think about these red flag laws that are being pushed?
Accelerationism, man. Accelerationism. We're headed down a slope. It's becoming steeper. Did you catch that Beto? Beta O'Rourke, he made a comment about, hell yes, we're going to take your AKs and your ARs. And that Texas congressman said, Beta's real name's Robert. He says, Robert, my AR-15 is ready for you. So he called the FBI on him for making a death threat. I've said for a long time, let's have the Democrats make repeal of the Second Amendment a centerpiece of their platform. Let's see where all this goes. There's a lot of us just won't be disarmed, period. End of the story. I I dismissed long ago the idea that I'd die peacefully in my bed at 92 years old of old age. Let's see where it ends, right here on the ridge in the Appalachians where I live, or somewhere else. Let's get the show on the road, brother.
Well, brother, I think that's a positive outlook compared to the situation we're staring down. These people, do you think they actually planned on quite a few resistors, people that would not turn in their guns? Do you think they've planned on this contingency?
Sure, I do. There's going to be quite a few martyrs here. Something I've said, mostly privately, but it's probably time to bring some of the private conversations out into the public. I've said for a long time this movement needs martyrs. Every movement throughout history has had martyrs. If we go back to November 8th and 9th, 1923, the NSDAP had their martyrs. They had the Blutfahne, the blood flag that came out of the Munich Putsch. Will we accomplish this through actual revolution? Will we accomplish this through some other means? Who can say? But the frog in the pot is getting to a boil. And I'm an accelerationist. I have been for a long time. I don't have the luxury of being 29, 30 years old with a half a lifetime in front of me, and I'd like to be part of all this. I'd like to bring what I have to offer to the table, you know?
Yeah, I do. I think a lot more people need to have that attitude because, folks, this life is not, this is not heaven. We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. I'm a believer in Christ. If they want to take this to the line, then I'm willing to go. But, I'd rather see I'd certainly prefer a peaceful situation for my people. I'd certainly prefer that. But I think we've long passed that luxury, don't you?
I think any reasonable man would like to see this resolved peacefully. When you look at the way the Soviet Union broke up, that was mostly peacefully. When you look at the way Germany reunified, that was mostly peacefully. What'll happen here, only God himself knows. But it can't continue on this path. I think we all know that. We have quite a few very, very dedicated people who still believe some sort of political solution is possible. I don't necessarily think they believe we can vote our way out of this, Matt. I think that point has long since passed. But might there be a political solution? Well, violence should never be a first resort, but, you know, look at the revolutions throughout history. Very few of them have been bloodless. What may come to pass in this country? How might it happen? I actually spoke about that just a bit when I talked at the Florida League of the South conference back in August. You know, how might this go? A breakup similar to the way the Soviet Union broke up into its member states, which was relatively peacefully, or might this happen the way Bosnia broke up, which is one extreme and the other? Civil war is nothing to take lightly. Armed revolution is nothing to take lightly. We'll have all the combat power of the U.S. government arrayed against us. That goes without saying. I don't advocate that, aside from the fact that it's illegal to advocate that. That'll happen in our front yards. That'll happen in our living rooms. Fourth-generation warfare works both ways. Like you, I hope there's a peaceful solution to all this, but is a stern talking to going to get it done? What do you think?
I question whether we've already crossed the peaceful point. We can't. I don't think there is a peaceful solution. Gary Willis, they knocked on his door, a man who did not even leave his house, and they shot him dead.
Sure.
These
are going to be our martyrs,
man. He is a martyr, absolutely. You mentioned Bosnia, and as our situation gets worse and worse, we've had friends across the ocean in South Africa who said they've had talks with people who were in Bosnia during their crisis, mm-hmm. and they actually have given them good advice. They've talked to them about what they went through. So even terrible crises like those, they can come to have fruitful benefits in the long run. So people, remember that whatever our people go through, we're in this thick and thin. Folks, we've got to prepare mentally and in our hearts, and especially prepare spiritually. Now, you talked about a speech down in Florida. Y'all were at that event at what time?
That was the second weekend in August. Last weekend, we were in Alabama for the League National Conference, which was quite an event, may I say. We had somewhere over 100 people present, which is very good for us. The League, like every organization that took part in the Charlottesville rally, more than 2 years ago, has gone through changes. We met in a small community in rural Alabama. We provided our own security. We had a very, very friendly and supportive local sheriff's office, which is always helpful, the sheriff being the highest elected authority in any county. We had great speakers. We had our own speakers who talked. Brad Griffin, our public affairs officer, gave a great speech. Michael Hill gave a great speech. I was privileged to be able to address the conference for about an hour on Friday morning. We had other great speakers. We had Dr. Kevin McDonald talk to us. We had Thomas Robb talk to us. Then on Saturday, we had Rick Tyler speak. David Duke talked to us a couple of different times. It was really a tremendous experience, and we do this once a year. It was our 26th annual national conference.
Whoa, 26. Okay.
26 years the league's been out there, you know, sword and shield of the Southern people, and we continue in that role, you know?
Absolutely, and there's been ups and downs. We'll get to some of those after. We got a commercial break coming up. But
okay.
give me a quick kind of summary of how long did you talk down in Florida? You said about...
I had an hour in Florida. I spoke for an hour.
Well, we will be right back after these messages. And
okay.
Folks, go get you some coffee. You're not going to want to miss this.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The Justice Department told a judge that the House Judiciary Committee should not get access to secret grand jury material collected during the special counsel's Russia investigation, even as it weighs whether to pursue impeachment. The response comes nearly 2 months after the committee filed a petition in federal court arguing lawmakers need to obtain the grand jury material in order to determine whether to recommend those articles of impeachment. A negotiating team from the Taliban arrived in Russia, according to the Associated Press, just days after President Donald Trump declared dead a deal with the insurgent group in Afghanistan. Russian state news agency TASS cited the Taliban's Qatar-based spokesman Suhail Shaleen as saying the delegation held consultations with President Vladimir Putin's envoy for Afghanistan. It was the Taliban's first international visit following the collapse of talks with Washington. This is USA Radio News.
Is it possible that an ancient mystery lies behind today's news? The events of the world, world leaders, even Donald Trump, and the events of your life. Could this mystery even reveal the future events that are yet to come? Jonathan Cahn, the New York Times bestselling author of The Harbinger, The Paradigm, and The Book of Mysteries, now brings The Oracle. Prepare to be blown away. The Oracle by Jonathan Cahn. Available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
To thank you for helping build MyPillow into the big company that it's become, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has created the new Radio Listener Special. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, and you can get deep discounts on the new body pillow, on regular MyPillow, the travel pillows, the Giza Dreams bed sheets, lots of savings there. MyPillow.com, use promo code USA and save on everything on the website.
The White House has now confirmed the death of Osama bin Laden. John Clemens reports.
President Trump issued the statement that Hamza bin Laden, the son of 9/11 mastermind Osama bin Laden, had been killed. The high-ranking member of Al-Qaeda was killed during a counterterrorism operation in the Afghanistan-Pakistan region. The statement from the White House continued that the loss of Hamza bin Laden not only deprives Al-Qaeda of important leadership skills, but a symbolic connection to his father. The confirmation by the White House comes 3 days after the 18th anniversary of the terror attacks on America on 9/11.
A Houston police officer was hospitalized in stable condition after he was shot with his own gun in a struggle with a suspect who, along with three others, stole two vehicles and attempted to kill a priest in a crime spree that played out in Houston. The 29-year-old officer was wearing a bulletproof vest when he was shot, but he was struck in the lower abdomen just below the vest. The police chief of Houston, Art Acevedo, said he's hopeful for a full recovery. This is USA Radio News.
The Blood Flag song itself, Horse Diesel Lied, the man that was shot when the NSDAP was marching through the street. And that was their martyr, Horse Diesel. So, Mr. Ike, you were talking about this speech you gave and down in Florida. What was the nature of the speech?
Well, I titled the speech in Florida, Beyond the Black Pill, Southern Nationalism After Charlottesville. And I discussed some of the changes that have taken place to Southern nationalism, of course, by extension, white nationalism. You know, as most folks are aware in the League, we do specifically consider ourselves Southern nationalists. We are the League of the South, after all. But it's like I've said before, every Southern nationalist, by definition, is a white nationalist. Every white nationalist is certainly not a Southern nationalist. It would be like the old saw, every eagle is a bird, but every bird is not an eagle. In any event, we discussed that quite a bit, discussed where some of the other organizations are today who made up that formation that marched up Market Street in Charlottesville on August 12th of 2017, and the fact that the League is the sole organization that remains intact with the same leadership that led us up Market Street. Now, two of those organizations are gone for reasons it's probably not suitable to go into in public. There were some very, very bad decisions made by some leaders. There were organizations that went through a membership schism. And then, of course, one of the organizations has gone through a massive leadership change, and a man who was in the movement for 25 years now speaks, I guess, for money about anti-racism. I would have never expected that from Commander Scoop. However, we all choose our path, don't we? We just
hear here.
What the League calls the tripod of Southern nationalism, the fact that we are a distinct people. It's not a matter of deserving. We're entitled to have our own country, our own place, our own homeland. The fact that the federal system cannot be reformed, and in fact, we don't wish for it to be reformed. It was interesting. They actually had a constitutional speaker there, Chris Ann Hall. She's a former prosecutor and a very intelligent attorney, and she spoke very passionately about all the things we should do to restore the Constitution. I didn't specifically refute her. But Dr. Hill stood up an hour or two after me and mentioned how it's great to talk about all the things that we should do to take power back, but the fact is that the ones who have power, as you and I were discussing a moment ago, they're not going to give it up with a stern talking to. There's what should be, and then there's what is.
Let me interject something here. Folks,
sure,
the Constitution has failed. It didn't last more than 60 years before people are at each other's throats going to war.
Mm-hmm.
It had no basis for any type of culture in it. It didn't define who the Constitution, who America was for. The Constitution has failed. It didn't just fail yesterday. It didn't fail last week. It failed very shortly after they even wrote the document. People say before the ink was even dry. It was likely a Masonic coup against the British royalty. So, folks, I could go the rest of my life and not hear one more person talk about founding fathers or Constitution. That doesn't apply to us today. It hasn't applied to us in years.
You know, Matt, everything that's done to our people in this country to oppress us, and make no mistake, we are oppressed, is done by a black-robed autocrat, a lifetime-appointed federal judge who's not elected. Our country has become a kritarchy. I think we need to be clear about that. Whenever the will and pleasure of the people is expressed duly through their representatives, it's subverted very shortly thereafter. Look at what happened in Alabama just recently. They passed a law through their legislators, outlawing abortion in most circumstances. Their governor, the Honorable K. Allen Ivey, then signed it into law, and lo and behold, an unelected federal judge, exercising the authority conferred upon him by the United States Constitution, declared this duly passed and duly signed law unconstitutional. You know, in 1787, Patrick Henry, great Southern patriot, he flatly refused to participate in that constitutional convention, and in 1788, during the Virginia Ratifying Assembly, he referred to the Constitution as the most fatal plan that could possibly be conceived to enslave a free people. It was a coup. The Articles of Confederation were a sound means of governing the various states, but there were delegates present, most of whom were lawyers, who had something far different in mind than fine-tuning the Articles of Confederation. They had in mind this Constitution, and the Constitution began the government under whose boot we live under this very day. So that's the Constitution, and it goes without saying the League of the South doesn't believe the Constitution can or will save us or change anything or even give us the slightest relief, you know.
Oh, absolutely. So, you're beyond the black pill. What was your solutions for our people?
Well, after Charlottesville, post-Charlottesville, you know, there has been somewhat of a black pill among our people. It was a wonderful assembly of white identitarians. The League led that formation up Market Street, but that formation was not just the League of the South. I don't mind naming the organizations. There was the Traditionalist Worker Party, led by Matt Heimbach. Matthew Heimbach.
Keep going. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know. But he was there that day, and he led his organization several months before it disintegrated. The NSM was there, led by Commander Jeff Scoop. They contributed plenty of manpower to that formation. There was Vanguard America under Dylan Hopper, part of that formation. Other smaller organizations who contributed to it, Confederate Blood and Honor. We even had some Hammerskins amongst us because white men stood up that day. It was a wonderful day. Cost us a lot in hindsight. I was asked something last summer at the conference a year ago. Should we have went? And, you know, I tried to answer that question this way. In hindsight, there's nothing we could do except be there. Let's recognize the fact that the root reason for Unite the Right was those statues in Charlottesville. Statues which, by the way, are now safe. The federal courts have finally declared that the Charlottesville city government has to leave the statues alone. We have to pursue these things. The League couldn't not be there. So the answer is yes. Knowing everything I know, we still would have went, I believe. I don't make policy for the League, but it's certainly my job to help implement it after Dr. Hill sets the policy. So after Charlottesville, Southern nationalism has gone to something far different than what we used to do. We no longer have these large rallies that we announce well in advance and go in with a permit. We do what we call flash rallies. They work wonderfully. We identify small Southern towns where our natural audience, the Southern people, lives. Typically, the way I'll do it is I'll look for a town that's 90% plus white in a county that's 80 to 85% plus white. We'll go and see if there's actually a town square where the businesses aren't all boarded up, a town that's still alive, in other words. And we'll just show up there about 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning. And so far, we've been welcomed everywhere we went.
I'm just curious, have you done this in any northern cities above the Mason-Dixon line?
Well, with respect, we're the League of the South, so the answer is no.
Okay.
Would we lead an expeditionary party north of the Mason-Dixon line? I can't really answer that question. As I mentioned a moment ago, I don't set policy. I just do my best to implement it once it's been set. Would we come north of the Mason-Dixon line? Truly, I don't think we would, but I don't know. I mean, frankly, get Dr. Hill on and ask him that question. I think what we need to do is continue what we're doing in the South and attract a foundation of popular support amongst our people. Now, let me be clear. The League of the South is open to anyone who identifies with our goals and objectives. But as I said, we are the League of the South.
So our
focus is going to be in the Southland.
Well, that's good. And I'm just curious about anyone who might be listening who's not a Southerner. I think that it's going to be really hard just to resurrect the South again because frankly, in my opinion, I know Eddie feels the same way, but we just feel like the South has been so browbeat. And it's, I mean, I've been through so many little towns that you, towns you might have even been talking about where you, what, what you meant when you said the Main Street's dead. I've been in so many towns where the nicest building in them is the fire department. Okay.
Well,
and the problem with that is just let the town burn down if it's that bad, you know?
Here's the fact, though. There are towns out there that are not dead. We just have to find them. Now, I'd like to address something you mentioned, that the South can't rise alone. We don't imagine we will rise alone. It's not just the South that's being beat on by the Kritarchy. It's Western civilization everywhere. And as I've said in talks that I've given in various places, Western civilization is white civilization. Without whites, Western civilization falls, completely gone. So will our people rise north of the Mason-Dixon line at the same time that we're hoping to rise in the Southland? It's my greatest prayer that we do.
Well, Ike, we got to go to a break, and it's just a small one, so we'll be right back. Folks, stay in your seat. We'll be right back. This is gripping.
Now, Mr. and Mrs. Sir Galahad, what seems to be the problem?
Well, it's just not working.
She's been very unrealistic.
Really?
Ever since he rescued me from the dragon, we've been drifting apart.
That's not true.
We were supposed to live happily ever after.
Now, this isn't a fairy tale.
At first, he was gallant and chivalrous, opening doors for me, holding my chair, taking my arm.
All right, I'm not as young as I used to be.
He simply isn't the man who swept me off my feet.
Well, you're not as young as you used to be.
Mr. Sir Galahad, maybe if you started by just holding Mrs. Sir Galahad's hand when you're together.
Really?
Yes, try it.
Okay.
All right,
go on, take her hand. Careful, little oil.
Marriage. You're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Now, look into each other's eyes. That's right, raise your visor.
Oh, they're blue, dear.
For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense, as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Well, welcome back, folks. I have got to say, you're listening to Blood River Radio, and this is the last segment of it with Ike Baker here. Ike, we were just talking about the destruction of main streets all across America. Sure. I got to ask you, I'm going to push back a little bit.
Okay.
Why have we regressed from street activism? Why do people think, anyone, I challenge anyone to think, when in the day and age of Gary Willis, when the police are coming to our houses, knocking on our doors and gunning us down and having no retribution, why do we think we're saving anything by not getting out into the streets and raising fire?
Well, I'll try to explain that to you from an operational standpoint. I'm assuming you're aware of what I do for the league. Is that fair, or should, or I'm Dr. Hill's chief of operations. All right. So I don't set policy for the league. I don't decide where we go. But once Dr. Hill says this is where we're going, I find all the moving parts and try to make them fit together, Matt. And here's the fact of it: if we go out announced, we'll fight Antifa. Well and good. I have done that before and hope at some point to be able to do that again. We'll defend ourselves lawfully the way free white men are the way all free men are entitled to do. Okay, that's available to every free man. We'll follow the law. We'll defend ourselves lawfully. We'll be prosecuted beyond any reasonable expectation of what the law allows, while our attackers who initiate the violence with us get nothing. Okay, and if you look at Charlottesville, the parking garage fight, okay, that DeAndre Harris, he struck Harold Cruz in the head with a mag light. You can hear the thunk on the videotape. It's unmistakable. That's a felonious assault. When you club a man in the head, that's a felony, all right? Our guys, Harold was incapacitated by the blow. He had to have his head x-rayed to see if DeAndre had broken his skull. He was chased, he tripped and lost his footing, and he took a beating. He got nothing except, what, $300,000 from a GoFundMe from pathetic people who see fit to support that kind of trash in our society, where we had good men getting 8 years in prison, 6 years in prison. One pled out because he saw the handwriting on the wall, and he got 2 years in prison. So, there's how things should be, Matt. And you're right. We should be able to go out and exercise our rights and behave lawfully, defend ourselves lawfully, and go home at the end of the day. But that's how it should be. That's not how it is. Okay? They'll lawfare us to death. There's that vile attorney out of New York City, Roberta Kaplan. She's made it her life's mission to prosecute and lawfare everybody who is at Charlottesville out of existence. Now, that's what we're facing. That's the reality of it. Now, I'll pose the question back to you. Why do you think we're not out in the streets?
As far as flash mobs, people aren't ready. They're not ready to engage you when you show up.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. We go.
It's incredibly, and I'm not talking about Antifa. I'm talking about Main Street America. People are shopping. They're out to get a haircut, and then you show up, and they're not ready to engage mind and their heart.
You don't have an opportunity to sit down and tout all the benefits of your organization, but they see a well-groomed face offering them a newspaper, and we fly our flags in these small southern towns, and believe me, across the heart and soul of the Southland, the battle flag is very welcome, and the Black Cross of the League has become very well known since Charlottesville. So it's outreach to build a base of popular support. Now, as far as things rising, I don't have a picture in my mind of organically how that's going to happen, or in fact, even if it will. I mean, I have the utopia of hope. I believe our people still possess that fighting spirit, that desire for armed self-determination that our people have had for hundreds and hundreds of years. When will it materialize? I hate to throw it back to this, but God himself only knows. And being in the vanguard, engaging Antifa, here's what it involves. It'll involve, just as a for instance, an operation we had planned in East Tennessee. It would have involved taking on, from the state of Tennessee, an open-ended obligation, financial obligation, for additional security costs. Now, that has since been defeated in the Tennessee court system. But when we had this operation planned for East Tennessee, an announced rally at Sycamore Shoals by Elizabethan, we had that put on us. We had no choice at that point, because how much lawfare can an organization withstand when the lawfare is being done in the federal court system with the federal prosecutors playing right into their hands? They have unlimited resources. Let me assure you, we don't. So as far as getting out and and marching in the streets with what is arrayed against us, we had to shift tactics. We had no choice. We came up with what we think is a workable tactic. Another thing that we've done, and this really just creates content, which is important, we've gone out and we've taken possession of a couple of their great civil rights icons across the Southland. You may or may not be aware of this. Last summer in June, we went to Selma, Alabama, and took possession of the Edmund Pettus Bridge, the Freedom Bridge, they call it. You know the one I'm speaking about, right?
Yes, I know. I saw that picture.
Okay. I mean, you drive a truck across the Southland. You've probably driven a truck right across that bridge because it carries a major thoroughfare. We went to Little Rock, Arkansas, right into the heart of Indian country. We took possession of Central High School, the scene of forced integration in the 50s. We're doing what we're able to do and retain our viability as an organization. We need this popular support. That's what we need more than anything right now. We had a man one time give a talk on how to foster these sorts of events. And one of the things that has to be done is a critical mass of popular support has to be achieved. Matt, we haven't achieved that yet. I believe we can. And I believe this is the way to do it. But I'll say this. I'll make myself available to speak with anybody who has an idea, and if I think it's viable, I'll carry it to Dr. Hill. We've had rank-and-file members come to me with ideas. I presented it to Dr. Hill, and lo and behold, a few weeks later, the League of the South is executing an operation off an idea that came to me from one of our rank-and-file members. So I'm reachable, and I'm willing to talk to anybody who has an idea about how to do this, and I'll carry it to the commander of the league.
Well, that's a good thing, and I'm just giving you pushback because I have these questions myself, and I've got to ask. What's the best way for young men to join your organization?
Go to our website, leagueofthesouth.com. There's an application right there. Come out and be with us. We have intact leadership for a long period of years. It's seasoned leadership. There's chapters in every single southern state. And some of our states are very active. They have more than one chapter. They even have local chapters in some states. So we're easy to reach. Reach out to us. We'll be glad to have you. Come out and meet us. Let's get acquainted. Mutual trust starts with meeting face-to-face.
I'd love to just send a broadcast out to maybe past members or people that are considering to be members. Join this organization. Get involved. Don't wait for them to come knock on your door to execute a red flag gun law. Get involved. The more people the League of the South has, the more activity they can do. And that puts us more into the mainstream. We might eventually get to take back the streets. And that's my shameless plug here for that. These people need to get involved. So let me ask you this. Okay, you said they joined by going to the website.
Go to the website, leagueofthesouth.com. Now, something that Eddie and I have spoken about, on the first Saturday of every month, he's offered me an hour to come on and speak about the league, take calls from listeners, and talk about the league. I've got clearance to do that from Dr. Hill. I'm going to involve our public affairs officer for content. He won't be necessarily doing the job on the air. Eddie asked me if I'd be willing to. I said, well, there's a man down in Alabama I have to get a green light from. I presented the idea to Dr. Hill. He thought it was a great idea. So we'll be on the first Saturday of every month for an hour to talk about the League of the South. In the meantime, you can go to our website. We are on social media. You can go to vk.com. We don't really have an actual presence on Facebook anymore. We're radioactive to Zuckerberg and his crew. But our website is
out there.
Now, you know, let me just say this. My name is radioactive on Facebook. If I tried to open a Facebook, a page is Ike Baker, it'll be gone in 20 minutes. And Twitter hates me, too. But we're out there. We're reachable. We are anxious to have our people reach toward us. We'll reach back. Like I said, mutual trust starts being built with getting face-to-face, which we'll have every opportunity to do. So the league is there to serve the southern people. That's who we exist for. Now, as I said, you don't have to be in Dixie. You don't have to be a southerner by heritage to join the league if you support our aims, which is basically an ethno-state in the south. Like Mr. Tyler said, Jacob's father at our conference, we have to find a place and make it ours. And we believe that place will be somewhere south of the Mason-Dixon line. So did Rick, by the way. He has a very specific idea of where we can do this at.
We must preserve our people at all costs. And the league is a very good opportunity to do that. The league has a good setup and infrastructure to actually provide a future for our people. And so I encourage people to go check them out.
Thank you.
Mr. Ike, thank you for coming on our show. It's been a pleasure to have you. And I wish we could have talked more about the national conference. I actually wanted to get around to that, but we just lost all time here today.
I understand. It was a fine event. We do it every summer. We did it a little bit later in the year this year for administrative reasons. We generally do it at the end of June. But, yeah, join us. We'd love to have you.
Thank you, Ike.
Thank you.
The South. And God bless you all. Join us back here for the next hour. We'll be right back.